Well, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Now, I have to say, you're mostly known for playing Mr. Sulu on Star Trek, but I don't think that's necessarily true. You have an unbelievable amount of Facebook followers. I think you have to be the coolest multi-generational star there is.
Well, you know, people mention Star Trek, but that's only because that was the first series I had. I had another series that was canceled 2 years ago called Heroes, in which I played the father of the brilliant, power-laden young man named Hiro, H-I-R-O.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then I did another series called Super Ninjas, where I played the ninja master to three young teenage ninjas. So I've had two series in addition to Star Trek and a whole slew of television guest shots. And yes, it's true, I have more than 4.5 million fans with Facebook and 700,000 fans with Twitter, which is something that I never expected to happen.
I know, it's amazing. And I mean, I'm a little nervous to ask you any Star Trek questions because I know your your legions of Trekkies will get on me if I misspeak anything. But
they're a very tolerant and understanding group.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, I mean, what do you make of this phenomenon, the cult-like status of Star Trek? I mean, it's almost 50 years old, and it's still people that were born a couple years ago are still into it.
The original fans are bringing their grandchildren to Star Trek conventions. I think because the core of Star Trek, the philosophy that Gene Roddenberry, the creator of Star Trek, had of looking to the future not as a dystopian failed civilization, as so much of science fiction has the future, but as one that's a shining, engaging challenge. He said, as long as we have confidence in our inventive talent, our innovative capacity, our entrepreneurial spirit, then we can meet those challenges. And also to see our diversity on this planet as our strength, as well as what makes our planet engaging and interesting. But to work together as a team in concert, and we will find a solution to any challenge that we face. And we did depict a shining future, the Starship Enterprise going at warp speed through the galaxies. So I think it's that very optimistic view of our future that captured the imagination of all three generations who are now Star Trek fans.
Most definitely. And yeah, I never thought about that way. There's a very positive view of the future. And Star Trek takes place 23rd century. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
And okay, so as an actor who's been to the future and has been back, are you amazed at the technology that you used as props in 1966 that are actually being used today in reality?
Well, you know, Gene Roddenberry was a person who dealt with details, and particularly with the speculative technology of the time. He wanted that to be based on the genuine scientific speculations. And so we had as our consultants the RAND Corporation. And so we had this amazing device that we wore on our hip that had no wires or anything attached to it, not even antennas, that we would rip off whenever and wherever we were, and flip it open and start talking. Back in the 60s, that was astounding. They had never imagined.
I still have one of those. I still have a flip phone, and that's really old now.
It's not only old, but it's a very bothersome nuisance in our society. We can't get away from it. But yes, it's true. The technological advances have been absolutely amazing. And the only qualm I have is that they still haven't come up with what we call the transporter, where we just stepped on a pod and sparkled with the energy of the transporter, and a few seconds later we transported over to our destination and sparkled and reformed ourselves.
Well, we have
two
centuries.
We still have that damned airport and and airplanes to contend with.
I know, you're right. Well, give us two more centuries. We'll get there. We'll get there.
Well, I think we'll get there even faster than that. Certainly the cell phone now has long surpassed what we had on Star Trek. We can take pictures with it, watch TV shows with it, Google with it, do absolutely amazing things. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we have to wait until the 23rd century. I'm eagerly waiting for it to happen, perhaps by the end of this century or the beginning of the next.
Well, and so these movies are new ones are coming out, and your role right now is being played by John Cho. Do you have any advice for the new guy? What's it like? What should he expect to be Mr. Sulu?
Well, John was very concerned when he got cast in the new version of Star Trek. And so he asked to have lunch with me. And he asked about fandom and how obsessive they are. And he asked about playing a spaceman and so forth. He had a lot of questions. And I said, John, I've known you for more than a decade now. You're a good actor. I know you can handle it. You'll do a wonderful job as Sulu, and it won't be too long before I'll be known as the old guy who played John Cho's part.
Never.
That's very kind of you to say that.
I'm speaking with George Takei, who is actor extraordinaire, Facebook pioneer, and also be visiting.
Well, let me ask you. You're the real scientist here.
Uh-oh. Oh,
I'm just an actor who acted a spaceman. What are your speculations on what we might achieve in galactic travel?
Well, I think that Mars is probably our next stop, and I hope that we make it there. That would be great.
I agree.
A transporter would be a big plus. Instead, now we have to fly 7 months to get there, so that makes even the airport look easy. But I think the telescopes that are coming online are just unbelievable. We're going to be able to map out the entire sky once a week, and it'll be on Google. It's going to be great.
It's really exciting, isn't it? I was at a talk where Elon Musk, the founder of SpaceX, spoke, and he spoke of humans being the only multi-planet species. I mean, what a thought. Multi-planet. And here we have our surrogate robot, the rover, mm-hmm. on the surface of Mars, more or less scouting out the turf for us. But do you think that there will come soon within this century or the next a time when we'll be able to colonize some planet? Asteroid?
It's a tough prospect. You guys make it look so easy on TV. That's the thing.
Oh, yeah. You know, what we're doing today looked so old-fashioned. I mean, when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon back in 1969.
Right, and you got to think this is after your show was on, too. I mean,
that's when we were canceled in 69. Mm-hmm. It looked so gawky and in that puffed-up spacesuit. All we did was just sparkle and beam down.
And you had all that room. The Enterprise was gigantic compared to what the Apollo crafts were like.
Do you think we might have something like that?
Oh, if we can travel like the way you guys did, sign me up. I'm ready for it.
I am too. I'd like to go out there in space, and we might be able to do that in our lifetime.
Well, I'm hoping so. And you mentioned Elon Musk as a guy that's trying to make that happen, and might be a
exactly.
private enterprise, which is a little different than what we would have thought.
And that's what's making it exciting. You know, we flew on the we transported on the Starship Enterprise, and that Gene Roddenberry specifically had that in mind when he gave that name to the starship, that we are an entrepreneurial breed, and that we take an idea, we develop it, and we put it to good use. And I think that spirit is what's going to move us out into the future.
And you have a lot of great forward-thinking philosophies, too. I've been reading a lot of your blogs and a lot of your write on Facebook. And I do have to ask this question. Where did the oh my come from? Where did that originate?
Well, you know, oh my is something that I've been saying all my life.
Really?
You know, you see a beautiful sunset, and it's radiant, and it's it fills me with awe. Oh my, you know, or well, something like what happened in 1969, landing a man on the moon. That's an awe-inspiring achievement. That is, oh my. And so I've been using the phrase oh my all my life. But back in 1991, I was doing a play here in New York, and when you're doing a play, you have the responsibility of promoting that play. And one of the places that I promoted the play was on the Howard Stern show.
Oh, really?
And he, you know, he does a lot of outrageous things on his show.
I'm familiar. I'm familiar. And how did you two get associated? That seems an odd couple.
Well, I was promoting this play I was doing at that time, The Wash, and I went to promote the play, but you know, there are outrageous questions or outrageous things that he does on the air. And so I said, oh, my. And he had it on tape. And whether I'm there or not, when something outrageous or ridiculous or shocking happens, he just presses a button and my voice comes on saying, oh, my.
It's just too perfect. It's too perfect. Well, this week, you're going to be coming to visit us here in Cincinnati, and you're going to be performing at our own grand stage called Cincinnati's Music Hall for the program called The Final Frontier. I can't wait to be working with you for that. The symphony is all looking forward to seeing you.
I'm looking forward to that. You know, music has been an important part of transporting people. We do use the word, I was transported by music. And certainly when you're telling a story of transport, trekking through space, trekking to the stars, music played an important part. And so that lends itself to concerts, particularly pop concerts. And we're sharing it with the music from Star Wars as well. And so I'll look forward to listening to your scientific narration while I do the fictional space travel narration.
I can't wait. And I hope you're practicing your chicken dance because you are the grand marshal for our Oktoberfest. How's your rhythm? Have you practiced yet?
Yes, I have. They said I had no idea what a chicken dance was. In fact, you know, when they asked whether I'll be the grand marshal of the Oktoberfest, I said, that's good beer. of course I'll do it.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And so I agreed to it, not knowing that there was this additional responsibility of performing the chicken dance. So I asked them to send a video over, and I've been practicing diligently and conscientiously.
That is good. We take it very seriously here in Cincinnati, so we can't wait to see you do that, too.
You will see the result of very serious practice and rehearsal.
Thank you so much for speaking with me today. I can't wait to see you over at the Symphony and the Chicken Dance and what else you come up with at Howard Stern and Facebook.
I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. As a matter of fact, I have mentioned it on the Howard Stern Show already this morning and yesterday morning. So the word is out.
Oh, great. I love it. I love it. And I still have to say you have to be the hippest 70-something-year-old that I know of.
Well, thank you for that compliment. I think I'm going to enjoy doing this with you.
I can't wait. Thank you, George.
Live long and prosper.